That's our text for this morning, so we're going to be camping out there for a little bit. So Joseph is a guy that is not often talked about. He's just kind of a bystander. If you usually hear a sermon about the nativity story, it's usually on Christ or maybe on Mary and the visions she had, and sometimes camping out in the Luke passages. But, so we're going to look at Joseph this morning. And just really quickly, a little background, and I mean quickly because we want to get into the text here, but Mary, as we all know, was betrothed to be with Joseph, and that was kind of similar to like a modern day arrangement of like an engagement. So there was a time period where she probably would have left to be away from him for maybe a week or months or even a year, and that was called a time of preparation. And so before that, there might have been a party, maybe at Mary's parents' house, because at that time in the Jewish culture, sometimes the marriages might have been arranged. And so she took her time of preparation, and that's where, if you guys remember the passage in Luke where Mary goes to be with Zechariah and Elizabeth for a little bit. And there's a neat passage in there where it says that John actually leapt in his mother's womb when Mary came into the room. That's really cool. And so that probably was like that was during her time period of preparation. So she comes back, and this is where we are in the text this morning, Matthew chapter 1, as Michael read for us. Now the birth of Jesus took place in this way. I'm just going to read it again real quick. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way, when his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together. She was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being just a man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. The interesting part of this passage that Matthew picks up is that the wording that he chooses to describe Joseph being just a man. I don't know what you guys think about when you hear that phrase. Some of the other translations also call him a righteous man. But Matthew here talks about, in his description of Joseph, as being just a man. One commentator like to draw correlations to Joseph of the Old Testament. Joseph in the book of Genesis. We know that story real well. In Genesis 37, that's where he's sold into slavery by his brothers, because he was the favored brother, remember? They threw him in a pit, sold him into slavery, and then he finds himself in Potiphar's house, where he faithfully serves there. The character that Joseph of the Old Testament and Joseph of the New Testament, Jesus' stepdad, there's a lot of correlations, a lot of similarities. And as Matthew is describing Joseph here as being just a man, Joseph was a guy that wanted to do things the right way. As he battled with his decision to whether to stay with Mary or not, after finding out that she was pregnant, he really struggled with that. He wanted to do what the Old Testament law said as far as divorcing her quietly, because he really had two choices. He could do that, or he could have accused her of adultery or immorality and had her publicly stoned. Mary was just a teenager. Imagine if he decided to do that. She might have, most likely she might have died, and then of course the engagement would have been off. But imagine that, a teenage mom who finds herself in this situation because God chose her to carry Jesus. Joseph really struggled with that decision. And because he waited, God chose at that time to appear to him. Imagine also, Joseph being a decent guy, all the questions that surrounded this couple and all the things that they had to grapple with. Gossip, of course, probably spread in that town like crazy, right? Imagine hearing that a teenage mom is pregnant, and there's a guy who's a carpenter in town. He might be with dad, who knows? Because if they try to, imagine them trying to describe to their friends, we're expecting a child. God's involved. We haven't really made our marriage formal yet. He's going to save the people. He's going to save the world. And Just imagine from there, I mean, people spreading gossip in your workplaces. If you find yourself in news that you don't want to hear, right, about coworkers or something like that, in my workplace, I try to stay out of that stuff as much as possible, and something happened this week, and I got the, hey, did you hear what happened in the other county about these three people? It's like, no, I didn't. Do I want to know or not? It's like, yeah, I'd rather not hear that news, right? So Joseph had to defend his teenage, soon-to-be wife. He had to protect her already at this time because God chose him to be Jesus' stepdad. And so he had to protect his family from public accusations, criticism, and gossip. And God was already involved in directing their pregnancy and directing their future, the future of their family. So God appears, we see in verses 20. Let's read this passage real quick in this part. Verse 20, but as he considered these things, he was really struggling with his decision. Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel. Here's a summary of the angel's call. And this is neat how this corresponds to Mary's vision in Luke. Now here's a summary, real quick summary. We could really get deep into these of what the angel actually tells him. Mary's pregnant by the Holy Spirit, not another guy, despite what you might think at first. Oh, it's a boy. He is the Savior. You get to be his dad. You get to also be his covenant guardian. The vision that Joseph had in his dream, this angel doesn't have a name, unlike who appeared to Mary. That angel got a name. That angel's name was Gabriel, right? Mary was awake at the time that the angel appeared to her. And if you look in the Luke passage, Mary got to have a running dialogue with that angel. The angel, in this account with Joseph, Joseph was asleep. Joseph just got a declaration. He got a call. There was no dialogue with this angel. Why is he asleep? He got his instructions. And as the angel appeared after he woke up, he probably realized, you know what? Everything Mary was telling me is true. It is true. I don't need to fear. Mary got to ask that angel questions, like, how can this be? I'm still a virgin. She had a lot of questions. And I wonder why, in my mind, why God decided to appear to Joseph in the dream while he was asleep. And why, with Mary, she was awake and maybe doing something in the house or something like that. And all of a sudden, the angel appears and gives her instructions. It's just really interesting why maybe Joseph, as the covenant head of his soon-to-be family that God is forming, he got his instructions, he got his call. There was no questioning God in his life. It's just go, do it, do as I tell you. I'm your God, I'm faithful, I love you. You can have the strength to go and guide this family. And with Mary, maybe it was more of a maternal type of thing as she's processing her questions with God. Maybe that's something in your own life where you want to have a running dialogue with God. You want to ask him lots of questions. Or you want to fight, or you want to maybe be indecisive in what God wants to do in your life. But maybe sometimes you need to be like Joseph. Just quietly, humbly accept what God is doing. Don't ask him any questions. Just have the strength and the courage and the gospel confidence to do it. So Joseph, as soon as he woke up, he did as he was commanded in verse 24. It says, when Joseph woke up from his sleep, it doesn't say here, he wavered, he took all day to decide, or he prayed about it, or he waited till he went to church to ask his pastor, or to ask his best friend. There was no questioning. Joseph did it. He did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but he knew her not until she had given birth to a son. Maybe when the next time he saw Mary, can you imagine that conversation, the first time he saw Mary after the angel appeared to him? Can you imagine? Maybe Mary was relieved. Maybe Mary couldn't believe that God actually did the same thing to Joseph as he did to her. Maybe he gave her a big hug. Who knows? Maybe they worshiped together. The story doesn't tell us, but you can just imagine that after he saw Mary, what that was like. He took his wife. He did as the Lord commanded. God called him who he was. Notice also that he called him Son of David. And maybe as the angel was telling him that, Joseph finally realized, you know what? Everybody in my family, before I was born, going back hundreds of years, my family line, I get to finally see what my family was waiting for. I get to be the stepdad of the Messiah. Joseph, son of David, God gave him an identity to immediately serve God in mission. And Joseph remembered who he was. Some of us, we also need to do that here as we're going through our service. We need to remember who we serve, remember who we are. If you're a Christian, you're a child of God. God chose you. And you can live out of that identity. You can actually live for something. Like Joseph, he's following God's leading in his life. He took his wife. There's a book called Church Planter. It's funny, Seth, you told me that your wife bought it for you. And I've just started reading it a little bit. And the preface of the book, it's obviously about ministry, but the preface of the book is about crisis in masculinity and manhood nowadays. The average video game user is not in your 20s, it's 35. Guys play over 3 hours of video games a day. So guys are really good for the porn and gaming industry, but they're really not good for church. There's a big problem. So this author, he coined the word man, a combination of boy and man. So like a grown guy, a grown boy that can shave, that's the problem today. These guys don't want to take wives. They don't want to have families. And the author says, why do that? Why don't you just stay home with mom where she cooks for you and you can play video games all day? Why take that responsibility? And society doesn't really care. They just accept it nowadays. And we have boys in church. And so there's a problem in society today with that. They spend millions and millions of dollars on pornography. And when it carries over into the church, it just develops so many problems. And I bring that up to say, look at Joseph. We need to look at Joseph and see what he did. He immediately followed God's call. He flees comfort. It's another thing before we get into some other points as we close. Joseph flees comfort. He remains responsible for the family, even in the face of large and great danger. These are the actions that speak louder than Joseph's unspoken words in Scripture. Look at what he does. So we don't have to look at what Joseph said. The Bible, as we said this morning, the Bible doesn't tell us. There's no verse that said, Joseph said, quote unquote. You don't see that anywhere in Scripture. But he spoke it by what he did. Some of us are reluctant to do anything for God. And like Joseph, we waver. We take lots of time to decide whether we want to serve alongside God's church. And as I was thinking about that, I just wanted to think about some reasons why we struggle with some of the decisions that we do. Why we'd rather be spectator Christians. Some of us probably have a lot of underlying fears. Some of us probably lack confidence. Like me, it's me sometimes, I really lack confidence. I lack the courage to do things. We lack desire. A lot of times we just don't care. We're just apathetic. Sometimes we probably don't take our faith seriously, or maybe we only take it seriously 2 hours a week when we're singing in church. There's a litany of reasons why we struggle with that. And I want you guys to process that this morning as we look at Joseph's quick action with God's call in his life. What is causing you to be in it? What is causing you to doubt God's call in your life? Joseph, as we see, took the covenant head, the covenant guardian position in his family. As Jesus' stepdad and as Mary's wife, he faced a lot of danger. And the Christmas story, we usually like to focus on the cute little story of Jesus being in the manger and how cute it was that, you know, he laid in the manger, he was with the animals, the shepherds came, the wise men came. Matthew goes on to say the danger that was around after the nativity story, after Jesus was born. Look what Jesus and his family went through and what Joseph had to do to protect his family. If you want to read on later or throughout the week in Matthew chapter 2, it documents the danger that was around that Joseph had to protect his family from. It says in Matthew chapter 2, starting in verse 13, he also took his family to Egypt, again, after an angel warned them of certain death by Herod's men. Did you ever think about the danger that his family was under? And Joseph was responsible for their safety at every moment. Now, when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child and to destroy him." Look at the language that's used. This angel wanted to really reiterate to Joseph he needed to do something right away or Jesus is going to die. And the whole redemption story is over. It's done. Joseph had to act. He had to be the family. He had to guard the family. He arose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt. For parents in here, they didn't jump in the family minivan to drive to Egypt to get on the interstate, okay? Before this, walking into Bethlehem, who knows if, again, they didn't ride in the car, Mary was 9 months pregnant. The pictures and paintings that we see is Mary on a donkey. Who knows if they had a donkey? The story doesn't tell us, but maybe she had to walk miles and miles and miles being 9 months pregnant. But again, the angel appeared to Joseph and told them they had to leave right away. If Joseph just took till morning to decide what they wanted to do, who knows what would happen? The soldiers probably would have invaded the house, found out where they were, and that was it. He had to act right away. There's no packing the diaper bag. Getting out of the house and with two kids sometimes takes 20 minutes maybe, you know, to get kids in the car. There was no packing the diaper bag and making sure you have everything. Verse 16, then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious. He sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem. After he found out that he missed his opportunity, he killed every single child. That's violent. The nativity story is violent. We forget about that. We forget about the protection that Joseph had to do to his family. Verse 19, but when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, to Joseph, while they were in Egypt, saying, "Rise, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead." And again, look at the verse again. And he arose and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. No verse that says Joseph said. Nothing. Joseph got up and did it. And he went back. And again, they had to walk miles and miles and miles back to Israel to fulfill prophecy. Through all this, God showed that he was faithful in leading Joseph. He was faithful. And that leads me to a couple other things I want to cover before we close. God was faithful through all of this. I don't know if you've ever thought about what God's faithfulness really means. But as I looked at this to kind of prepare, I found that God's faithfulness, a little definition, God's faithfulness will always mean that God will always do what he promised. He can always be relied upon. He will never prove to be unfaithful to those who trust, he said. In Deuteronomy 32, I really like this verse I found. It's Deuteronomy 32, verses 4 to 5. The rock, his work is perfect. The rock is, of course, in capitals. It's a name for God that this author is using. The rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are justice. A God of faithfulness and without iniquity, just and upright is he. They have dealt corruptly with him. They are no longer his children because they are blemished. They are a crooked and twisted generation. Remember, through all that, God's work is perfect. All his ways are justice. There's nothing that God will ever do to change his mind. He never, in the story with Joseph, he didn't say halfway through there, oh, no, no, wait, go back. I changed my mind. Or no, wait, something's happening. God was faithfully leading the family through Joseph's headship. This faithfulness of God is a communicable attribute of God. And that means that this is an attribute that we can reflect to people. There are attributes of God that we can't demonstrate to others. We can't be our own sovereign, controlling people. We can't control our outcomes. We like to think we can sometimes. We can't control our outcomes. We can't be all-knowing. We can't turn ourselves into our own gods. We can't be a million different places at once like God. God's omnipresent. Those are attributes that we can't take on. But we can, like Joseph, we can take on the faithfulness of God. By learning more about the true and powerful God, we begin to reflect who he is. And as we're talking about for Mercy Hill the next 9 weeks about learning more about Scripture, I think this will really play a role in us learning about what God's faithfulness is as we look more at Scripture. And through that, then we will become more faithful people. We can show love. We can reflect truth. A couple months ago, we finished an election. And speaking of truth, have you realized that we really live in a society where truth doesn't really matter? It doesn't really matter what truth is out there anymore. There's a lot of untruth, mistruth, whatever you want to... The places like Wall Street, it's just, we're in a society where it doesn't matter what is true and what's not anymore. But our God is a God of truth. We serve a truthful, faithful God. And how we reflect that in South Jersey, how we reflect that in Gloucester County means everything. Numbers 23, one more passage. When Numbers 23, verses 19 to 21, says this, God is not a man that he should lie. Because men like to lie. We lie a lot. Maybe not so much audibly, but by the way we live our lives. But that's not God. God is not a man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said, will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it? Behold, I received the command to bless. He has blessed, and I cannot revoke it. He has not beheld misfortune in Jacob, nor has he seen trouble in Israel. The Lord their God is with them, and the shout of a king is among them. There's a lot in this little paragraph here, but I just like that it tells me who God is. God is not going to change his mind in my life. He's not going to decide something differently for me. He's not going to decide something different for you guys either. What God has said is true. What God has done in his scripture is true. What we just read this morning is true. This is a true event. This is a true evidence of God's faithfulness by how he led Joseph and his family. And look at the application of the author as he's receiving it. In verse 20, has he said, will he not do it? Or has he spoken, will he not fulfill it? Behold, I receive the command to bless. He has blessed, and I cannot revoke it. And he is the Lord their God with them, and the shout of a king is among them. After our time this morning, I mean, maybe as our worship time is, Let's shout to God that He is our faithful King. We have an opportunity to respond to that. A couple things as we close for application. I want you to remember in your life areas where you forget about God's faithfulness and repent of that this morning. Where are areas, fathers, husbands, where are areas where you don't live out the faithfulness of God's truth in your life? We need to repent of that too. Because we have a humbling call to lead and protect God's family, God's wives, God's daughters. We need to remember that this morning. Especially in 2011. Because all of these things God can use to show that He is faithful through you. If you're not a husband, if you're not a father, then as part of God's family and God's church, we can also have opportunities to show and reflect God's faithfulness. It's going to be a sacrifice. As Joseph was obedient to God, he had to lead his family through imminent danger. There were soldiers that wanted to kill them. So in our lives, it's going to cost us something. It might cost us a reputation. It will definitely cost us a lot of our time. It's going to be a challenge to be faithful to God in leading our families. And so remember also, if you're not a Christian, where is the unbelief in your life? I want to call you this morning to say that God is true. God is true in your life. He's going to lead. He's going to show that He is faithful. And if we can help you in that, by admitting all of us at times don't like to believe either. We fail to believe that God is true. Joseph saw this firsthand, that he was chosen to be the covenant guardian of the most important family in history will ever know. And because of God's faithfulness, he was able to do that and show that. Let's pray this morning. Father, I want to pray for all of us here, God, as we remember this morning God's faithfulness. Thank you, God, that through this story, you have shown yourself to be true. God, you called a man who probably wasn't the best choice, but it was the choice that you made. We look at Joseph, and he was just simply a carpenter. And God, to protect a family, to protect the most important family in history from danger, you've shown that to be something that you can do that's truly amazing. And God, thank you that this morning that you are true. Thank you that you don't change your mind. God, thank you that you call us to be a faithful people. And God, you give us the courage and the confidence and the strength to do that. And so, Father, I pray for the Holy Spirit's work in our lives this morning to do that. Thank you for opening our hearts and our minds to your word. And so, Father, we just want to praise and honor you this morning. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Not practical.
Change my mind.
At all. Not practical at all, and not convicted. Great challenge.